Welcome to the Seize the Yay podcast. Busy and happy are not the same thing. We too rarely question what makes the heart sing. We work, then we rest, but rarely we play, and often don't realize there's more than one way. So this is a platform to hear and explore the stories of those who found lives they adore. The good, bad and ugly, the best and worst day, will bear all the facets of seizing your yay. I'm Sarah Davidson, or Spoonful of Sarah, a lawyer turned funtrepreneur who swapped the suits and heels to co-found Matcha Maiden and Matcha Milk Bar. Seize the Yay is a series of conversations on finding a life you love and exploring the self-doubt, challenge, joy and fulfillment along the way. Hello, lovely Yayborhood. Welcome back to Yays of Our Lives. We have spontaneously started recording as normal and gone live on our Instagram and the Facebook page, which I neglect so badly.
Don't worry, we've got one whole viewer on Facebook.
Do we really? How do you even see that?
It says one viewer.
One viewer? Oh my God, is that me? Is it me because I'm watching it?
Probably.
But our beautiful Facebook neighborhood have been joining. Everyone's joining. This is so lovely. Bim, how are you?
I forgot my outfit. I made a pact to you that I wear a new item of garment every session.
Whose sunnies are they?
I don't know. There's one on the table.
They're definitely servo sunnies.
Anyway, I'm good. We just had breakfast, a really fun breakfast this morning.
Oh, yeah. So we had a lovely yay-filled morning with one of our regular guests now, Dr. Brandy, who is the incredible doctor for the Matildas, who are in Melbourne to play Uzbekistan tonight. And she has, I mean, if you guys have listened to part one and part two, we've also planned part three and four around the Olympics, which will be very exciting.
Oh, yes.
But if you've listened to those episodes, you know she has no spare time. And I don't know how we got a breakfast in with her, but we had the best morning.
Yeah, it was so lovely. Fun. Speaking of, is anyone going to the game tonight?
Anyone going? I feel like there are lots. Tilly's fever is happening in Melbourne City. We were in the city this morning.
Well, it's sold out. Like I went, funnily, I've watched every single game, but not gotten a jersey because when during FIFA it just sold out super quickly, and then I just like in that meantime didn't really need one, so I went to get one this morning, and probably like every other person that didn't have one, everyone was in the city getting the same thing, like dads, mums, kids, travellers. They had to sell it from behind the desk, the Tilly's jerseys, because they were just so popular again.
Oh,
it's like, it's so great. And it's sold out tonight.
It's so wholesome.
So it'll be so really wholesome. Fun.
I also feel like I did a post the other day. Oh, not a post, but a story about how...
Oh, Dr. Brandy.
Oh my God, Dr. Brandy has logged into the chat.
And said, I'm going.
Hi. We thought you might be there. Guys, we love her so much. And we were sitting at Hardware Society and there was this massive queue forming outside and we were like, this is definitely for Dr. Brandy to sign
it, jerseys. And it actually was. Like, came out and, like...
paparazzi.
Like, no, seriously. There was, like, 100 of them wanting her autograph,
yeah,
remember?
Yeah, and then someone even came up to our table.
Yeah, anyway, so it was...
Nicky Boyce
go
joined.
Tilly's, Nick from upstairs.
Nick from upstairs. Thanks for joining. We did already have one question. This is for the people who are listening at home later... This is going to be so unhinged because we did not plan the structure of submitting questions. But Foodie G asked what we had for breakfast. So we were at Hardware Society.
Tells a lot about a person.
It does, but it's not your normal breakfast menu. So we went to Hardware Society, who were one of our very first stockists of Matcha Maiden when we had the matcha business. The most beautiful couple, Di and Will, who are Aussies but moved to Paris and then brought the Parisian breakfasts back home to Australia and have had this cafe. It's like the longest standing hospitality institution in Melbourne. And we went with Dr. Brandy this morning and had, what are you
laughing at? I'm just laughing because Dr. Brandy and Nick are having their own conversation in the chat. Nick said, long time listener, first time caller. Dr. Brandy just said, same. Nicky boy, same.
So the menu is very French, very gourmet, so delicious. What did you have?
So sometimes I do have breakfast ordering anxiety because...
Because Andrew's like, bowels, basically.
Yeah, well, no, because often I don't know what I want and sometimes I'm really, really basic breakfast eater. Like I used to be really like fancy brunches, but now I'm seriously like...
When you had the green counter, when you were a food blogger. Guys, do you remember when Andrew was a food blogger?
Anyway, and then so I ordered a very basic scrambled eggs on toast, which I thought was basic but was not, but it was actually really delicious. It came with cornbread.
The cornbread was really yummy. I had some.
With corn in the bread as well, actually.
Wait, there's corn in
cornbread? There
was corn in the bread. Stop.
And it was, yeah, it was actually really delicious. It came with two slices of chorizo, which I didn't realize.
Chorizo?
What was it?
Chorizo. Chorizo.
No, surely it's chorizo.
Guys, first this yay or that yay for the day. Is it chorizo or chorizo? And also another question for this yay or that yay is, we were talking about this last night. Do you say...
It's just now having our own conversation. It's been great, guys, but I have to do some work because I've got a big game tonight.
And also you spent 5 hours of this morning with us chatting and signing absolute those rubbish autographs. And signing all the autographs.
I still cannot believe how
Thank
many
you,
people
Dr. Brandy,
were waiting
for
there.
For tuning in. So first this yay or that yay... This yay or that yay voting, is it chorizo or chorizo? Second, do you say Ibiza or Ibiza? And if you say Ibiza because you're cultured, do you say Barcelona or Barcelona? Because I think a lot of people say Ibiza, but they say Barcelona, which is not consistent.
It's, I've only ever called chorizo chorizo.
Okay, well, guys, vote. Vote now. Oh, hold on. Oh,
agree with Sarah.
Shani agrees with me.
Okay, Shani, what qualifications do you have to agree to this?
What qualifications do you bring to the table? Sarah is right, surely. Thank you, Alice.
Surely doesn't sound very promising.
Not the confidence we would like. Okay, hold on. What else? Good timing. Oh my God, we need to stop pausing to read
no,
our
this
questions.
Is great. I'm like, it's so far away that I'm like trying to squint to
I know,
read
I need
what's
my glasses.
But, okay, well, and the fourth question is, how do you spell brekkie?
Oh, yeah. Is it B-R-E-K-K-Y?
B-R-E-K-K-I-E.
Or B-R-E-A-K-Y.
Or B-R-E-A-K-I-E.
So this week's this yay or that yay is actually multiple choice. We should never have done this. Okay, so get your votes in for those this yay or that yay questions. In the meantime, there's a question from the founder edit. Would love to know how you have known a new life season is coming and what to do to gain clarity on what that looks like. Great question. And I actually talk about this often when I'm not unhinged with you.
What's the question?
It's about how you know when a new life chapter or a new life season is coming.
Right, yes, yes, yes.
And we talk about this often, actually, because both you and I have big definable chapters in our lives and careers. But it is really hard to know when you're on the cusp of a new one. And I think it's when you start to get fidgety. It's when you start to get discomfort or too much comfort around what you're doing and start... You and I get, we call it itchy.
Yeah.
We'll start itchy. And you'll know because one of us will plant the seed and go, so what do you think about... Like Andrew will randomly be like, so what if I did like a PhD and like moved to Afghanistan? Like you'll just suddenly be ideas and... things that aren't related to what you're doing. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you want to do those things, but it's a sign that you're itchy to do something else.
Yeah. And the thing that you taught me was the sign, that's the first sign of feeling that you might need a change. And the sign of when you should start actioning the change is if in 2 months' time you still feel the same way.
Yes. So we do that. We'll check in with each other and you'll go through phases where you'll go, I want to move states or I want to move and start a whole new career. And then if you still are talking to me about it a couple of months later, we'll know it's time for a change. And if you aren't, then it was just like a phase where you had a week where it wasn't necessarily a big life change, like a new season, but it was just a moment of agitation. But it is really hard to know. I'm also circling back to Shani. You said what are her qualifications about chorizo? She's a dietitian. So she wins. Shani, you win.
Shani, but are you Spanish?
Nick also said it's pronounced fatty chatty.
We have to send a link to that.
So in the show notes, which we keep saying we'll put stuff in and every week I forget to put things in.
I don't even know where show notes exist.
So it's for me to say I'll put something in there later, which I never do. But there's this pronunciation channel on YouTube where it's just this guy doing proper formal pronunciation videos, but he says them completely wrong. And if you were not an English speaker, you would have no idea that it was like a total farce. But so he put up like how to pronounce fajita. And so it'll spell like the word fajita will be up on the screen. All of the text in the video and the meta text and description is all about fajitas. And in this dead serious voice, he'll go, fatty chatty. Fatty jatty. Fatty jatty. Like he'll go slow, fast. Oh my God, it's so funny. Okay. Oh, Shani, again, this is such wholesome content, all of life's big questions, right?
Well.
Right? We're just here for the joy.
As usual, we're quite chaotic, but you didn't actually finish what you ordered for breakfast.
Oh, I didn't. Sorry, guys. This is why we don't go live normally, because we can't stick to an agenda anyway, and it's so chaotic.
I am the table of contents.
I got this. So I had baked eggs, which is a very traditional French dish. And it was, of course, because I'm pregnant, I had to have the eggs hard poached instead of soft in like what they call a cocotte, which is like the little sort of mini crock pot thing that they bake it in and then you eat it straight out of it. And I had like this beautiful aioli with like these big broad beans. It was this amazing, delicious mix of pesto and, yeah, it was more fancy. I'm like you. We're a bit basic with our breakfast. Normally, I'm normally like avo eggs mushies or avo eggs butter.
Yeah. Like not even dressing, just
no, just eggs like and straight bread. Up. Yeah. Yeah. Eggs bread.
Yeah.
But we went fancy this morning and it was absolutely delicious. And Di and Will do an amazing breakfast.
We did say in the car it was actually quite delicious. And Dr. Brandy had a souffle.
A souffle?
She I don't think I've ever had a souffle in my life.
Also, someone else said, I'm right. A quick Google check of chorizo has my pronunciation is right. Thank you so much. And I'm. But was it the guy from the pronunciation channel?
Guys, I'm just
he saying. What would he say? What would the guy on the pronunciation channel say?
Champanunu.
No. Chorizo flaflu.
No, no. You can't even say the word and it just goes like, ching chong.
Like. Not what he would say. Okay, we've got one vote for Brekkie, double K-I-E, another vote for double K-Y. Angefoot joined her own chat.
Well, because I need to see the questions. It's so far away.
Great. Okay, I can't read that one. Why don't you? That's so can you great. Monitor the questions?
Yeah, look that's over so there. Great that you are not locked in by emotion and financial fear to move and change, if that makes sense.
Amazing point. Coming back to Siri, we're really straddling serious and absolutely
not
trivial and fluffy. But I think we do get very locked in by emotion and not financial fear so much as the financial implications of a big change. And I have definitely, if you guys have been listening to the podcast for a while, you will have heard me evolve from very much feel the fear and do it anyway and take a leap and what's the worst that could happen to absolutely still don't be controlled by fear and self-doubt, but still make decisions within the parameters of your financial obligations. Because at the time when I left law and started Matchmade, I had no kids, no dependents, no mortgage. I was early in my career. I had good savings. I had a partner who had a stable job. Like those considerations all matter. And the reality is everyone has bills to pay and financial obligations that form the matrix in which you make decisions and decide to take risks. So definitely I've changed from rip the band-aid and lean into the fear. I still would say that, but I would say in the timing that suits all the other things that you have going on in your life, because your risk matrix is going to be very different to someone else's. And we will at length sit and work through not just the physical implications of a decision or a life change together, but we'll mind map out what does that mean for your money? What does that mean for your bills? What does that mean for like the stress that you might put on like the next, you know, will it cripple you so much financially that you can't enjoy the change? Or I think that comes into our decision making a lot, even though we don't talk about it maybe as much. No, we do with each other.
Yeah, we do with each other significantly, because I feel like we're in a constant state of I know. You said it once in that our greatest burden is feeling like we can do everything, because then we do feel like we can do everything, and then we have this constant thing of like, okay, so can we do something now? That's not what we're doing currently, even though what we're currently doing is so great.
Mm.
But we both of us chat a lot about, like, we go quite deep in the financial side of now, because you've got a mortgage, I do, you're now also starting a family, what implications a career change or something may cause, but it's never been a barrier. It's something that we've both held each other true to. Because I remember last time when I was like, should I go for this job? The salary is this, which is significantly more. And you were like, I just never knew you as someone to care about, to be driven by money. And I was like, yeah, that was a nice wake up call. I was like, yeah, you're like, beyond the salary, what of this job do you actually want to do?
Mm.
And I was like, well, it's mainly the salary. And you're like, well, I feel like you can make that salary in a way that you, in ways that you want to, as opposed to feeling like you need to like,
go just, into this just for that.
This like corporate and change your whole life for this one job. So yeah, many considerations, but I think we also both know we're in a really privileged position from a financial standpoint.
Yeah.
Like we're not like so rich, but we also like we're privileged.
And we don't have five children and big commitments that make it hard. But it's interesting that even though of course, we still talked about the salary when you had that opportunity and what it could allow you, and we weren't sort of flippant about the monetary gain you could get. It was just that I've never known you to put that first in your pros and cons list. The salary was like the first thing, and all the other things like learning, development, interest, fulfillment were later. And it was unusual because that's not usually how you make decisions.
And then it didn't eventuate for that reason pretty much.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely a big consideration, but we just keep ourselves in line of like where should it sit in all values. The different things that you think about.
Yeah.
We had another question that was similar about life changes. So Rosie said, I have a big change coming, which, guys, is so weird. I'm 35 weeks pregnant, like 35 weeks.
Doesn't look it.
What? Doesn't well, look you can't it. See it from here, but I do. I keep bumping into this.
I look more pregnant than Sarah does on an average day.
But what's something you're both really excited for this year outside of work? Great question. And it's really probably really hard for me to separate that from the pregnancy, even though I don't want to like that to be my entire personality. But I think my biggest excitement is that we're starting a family and we get to meet our little boy. And a couple of days ago, we had our we not only had the most beautiful baby shower, but 2 days later we also had our last morphology scan, which is the 3D one where you get a full tour of all their measurements and everything, but you see the 3D version of their face. And we've only seen one of them like maybe a month ago or maybe 6 weeks ago, and you could see quite a lot of his features, but now he's like a fully baked child, and you could see him sucking the back of his hand with his little nose, and it was so clear, the detail. And I was just like, that's my son. Oh my God, I can't wait to meet him. He's like a real human.
He looks like me.
He has Andrew's nose.
He has my nose. So now we're like, are we the first same-sex couple to have...
By osmosis,
have a child.
Like, literally, I was like, that's Andrew's nose.
Who knows? Maybe.
You've got to believe.
Yeah, you've got to believe.
You've got to manifest. But it was so surreal to be like, especially as you guys know, we had a pregnancy loss early last year. It's so strange to be at the stage now where he would survive outside the womb if he arrived now. Like we're in quite a safe, it wouldn't be ideal, but like we're in quite a safe zone. So to be so close to actually getting to meet him and experience parenthood, like my biggest excitement for something outside of work is the journey of motherhood and how little I have any certainty around what that could possibly, like the emotions I have now, I can't even imagine when he actually arrives what that will feel like.
Well, I feel like your pregnancy is also my this year excitement, which is, but so Sarah is due like early April, and my high school best friend is due first week of May. So within 4 weeks, I'll have two newborns in my life, neither of which are mine. But both of which
could be yours by osmosis. I will claim to be mine
through osmosis. So I've got two newborns, which is so exciting. My sister's wedding is going to be in Vietnam in like 3 weeks. Going to tulip season again, which is really fun for work. Then me and my partner going to Uluru. So we just really banked up the travel this year. But I do think that I know you and Sarah's been like, oh, with the baby, nothing. Because we for ages we were like, should we do a baby's business or brand or something?
Mm.
And you have now been like, no, I think I'm happy to just let it be and whatever comes, comes. Which is kind of a dangerous thing for you though, because I feel like the more time you get to not focus on a goal, like the more creative you get, and then it's like, boom, here's the thing.
Yeah, the minute I'm like, I don't want a goal.
So I truly
I'm
think,
like, oh, there's one. There's
I
a new
truly
one.
Think you'll have the baby and then it be, oh, this is an idea, and then it come to life pretty quickly. But also it's very hard with you though, because last year you wouldn't, or 2 years ago, you wouldn't be like, oh, I'm presenting, I'm doing radio on Sundays now with House of Wellness, or I'm going to be on TV. Like you just, I just never know what's going to come up with you, and it's never what I would have thought or imagined, so it's very hard. Like for all I know, you could be a midwife next year.
Although, so one of my fidgety things was, I think I just want to go back and study medicine. And
yeah,
like,
you said that.
What do you mean? And
well,
I was like,
cooked.
I just feel like I miss like science. Like
the science that you never did.
Nicholas Davidson.
No, I think that was the ghost.
Oh, it was the ghost. Never mind. Yeah, I do. My fidgety thing a couple of years ago was I was missing study because I get to flex my creative muscles so much now, but in leaving my legal career, that like intense academic mental stimulation was like a jigsaw puzzle piece that I was missing for a little while. And yeah, I really thought that I wanted to do medicine, but not to become a doctor, just for the study. And you were like, you are cooked.
I was like, you'd probably be able to
really
do it
think
it's you.
About that. But I was then like, I thought it'd be my mat leave project. So now I'm like, oh, that's kind of now.
Yeah. Mm. You're like Yana Pittman.
I know. Another one of our favorite high achieving does amazing random chapters that come out of nowhere. But it is also really interesting that every time, like you said, my big changes often come when I've stopped thinking. Like I don't plan them. I don't sit. I like to make tangible goals, but I also like to stay really open to what a tangible goal that might come into my sort of purview by accident. And it's always when I've taken a holiday or take the foot off the brakes for work a little bit to have a baby, I feel like I will be surprised that ideas will be free-flowing just when I've decided not to have them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it'll be very on brand for you to have that happen and have it turn around very quickly.
Someone asked a little while ago, Helena or Helena, you two are so joyful. What is something completely random that brings you joy? So we were telling Dr. Brandy about this morning, that one of them is spontaneity and doing things we've never done before.
Yes. And
they're all very random.
And I feel like it's really easy to get to a point in life or an age or whatever where you're like, we're past that now. Like, we don't do that anymore. We don't have time. But we really prioritize. If I say to Sarah, you need to book out this day, there's no questions asked. Yeah. Usually it's around a birthday period. But because we don't do it often, we're like, okay, I'll block it out. And then like Sarah will block out the whole day. I'll be like, oh, it needs to be a half day or whatever. And how we normally do it.
The only thing you know is like apparel.
Yeah, the only thing you're allowed to know is apparel. And then the rest is like the even like everything's organized. Like I'll pick you up and the rest will be whatever comes that day you just have to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're reminiscing on all the random things that we've done. But it does bring like, cause it's like, so last year we went tufting. I still haven't picked it up, by the way. Then we've done ceramics, we've done adult gymnastics. Ooh. Mum's calling.
Sorry, guys. That was Mama Holloway just calling me and I forgot to put my phone on Do Not Disturb.
Rookie.
Oh, I love her.
I think that brings us joy. And also for you, also I think we've got two comments in Facebook.
Oh, how do I see the Facebook comments? God, I'm so inadequate in this situation.
The other thing I realized for you brings you joy is so Nick and Sarah do this crazy thing where instead of just scrolling TikTok, they YouTube search every night, like TikTok compilations of funny videos, and they watch that. for like an hour and they just laugh.
Just for joy. And like we also do this thing called curate where Nick will curate or through the day his favorite memes that he thinks, and he'll put them in order as well of what he thinks would make me laugh at the end of the day. And then I'm not allowed to watch them during the day. I have to watch them like with him so he can witness my joy through. And it'll be like, it's actually so cute. At the end of every day, there's like a little curated feed for me. But yeah, I think both of those are really nice because they're so pointless to our, you know, careers or development. And like, you know, everyone's like, you need to get off your devices and not scroll so much. And it's like, yeah, but it's all for joy and it's all really lighthearted and wholesome. And with our activities together, what I love is that like, you don't ever have to do that activity again. And it's really hard for people who are very motivated and driven to do an activity and not try and be really good at it. Like we're like, when we did gymnastics for that time, we wanted to like really excel and become like, it's hard for us to not try and make it a career or a business.
Yeah.
But because we allow ourselves to be just newbies and not necessarily, we never even need to go back. Like if you don't like ceramics, you never have to go again. But how do you know if you like it or not unless you go once?
Yeah.
And it's so, like, it's very cliche, eat, pray, love, but we kind of have committed, like on the show we talk about play TA and like be, you know, never let that childlike sense of joy and wonder go. But we then make ourselves stay accountable to it by booking in really childlike, or not childlike, but like activities that are just for fun. Like ceramics and like we've got a ring making club. Like we're never going to become silversmiths, but like we just think it's really fun to just try stuff.
And we don't do it as a means of like, we don't, it's not like we put in our calendar and say we need to be spontaneous today or next month or something. Like it just happens it to be that happen. We're both. You know how you have that friend where you like can get them to do anything, they'll just do it? It's kind of like that where we, if we say to each other, if we ever request for each other to block out a whole day, it's worth it often.
Yeah.
So it's never like we'd waste each other's time or in any way. Yeah. But yeah, we've had some funny as things.
Yeah.
I had one planned for you, but we never got to do it. But do you want me to tell you now or not?
Nah, don't tell me. Because there's still a chance we could do it. So like the only restriction recently was like this birthday and this Christmas, I was pregnant. So we couldn't, like we physically weren't allowed to do, because we do a mix of like tactile arts and crafts things, but then physical activities as well, like gymnastics. And I can't do a lot of them.
Yeah, the physical stuff.
So suddenly Ange was like, we're very limited this year.
Incredible. Because really, there's nothing else if anyone has any suggestions, we've kind of run out of all the things that we possibly could do from a, like we've even gone felting.
Yeah, we did dry felting for Christmas.
We've done
and
dry
we made
felting.
Little cute what?
Elena said said what Dr. Brandy said is trapeze.
Trapeze. See, I would definitely not be allowed to do trapeze right now. But after the
bath Dr. Brandy had said that as well when we said that we had done gymnastics. Okay, that's a good one on the list.
We should do a Seize the A. When we go back to doing Yeighbourhood events, we should do a gymnastics session
with
Phil.
Yeah.
So we started once as one of the surprise birthday events was Ange organised with like an actual gymnast who's an competitive athlete to run us through and let us literally use proper like Olympic gymnastics, double like parallel bars, uneven bars, like proper equipment, and teachers had a backflip and stuff. And then we just loved it so much that Nick, Ange and I kept going back like weekly until COVID, which is when we stopped.
We had like
private lessons, and it was so much fun.
It was really fun.
Because you don't ever throw your body around that like that as an adult.
And it's safe. It's so safe there. But it's also like we had to use the horse thing and the rings.
I just
think
we should get that video footage back out because it's so
because it's so bad.
It's so
people
bad.
People are like, and you're so like, you're sporty, whatever, whatever. And I was like, yeah, but I'm like, my legs don't move very far away from each other. Like
what do you mean?
They're not flexible. Like,
like they don't, like you can't separate your feet in the splits.
Yeah. Like, so I couldn't do a lot of like getting my legs over the uneven
bars. Oh yeah. So it was really interesting because Nick, Ange and I all have really different strengths physically. And so like we'd all just nail certain activities and the other two would just be the worst. Definitely got competitive. You and Nick got real intense.
No, then I just surrendered to the fact that I was never going to win at this game.
But yeah, that was so much fun. So there's some random things that bring us joy. What else brings us joy?
Well, can I list the things that we have done? Because I do need public support or help in finding the next activity because I'm really stuck because your birthday's coming up.
But I also can't do any activities.
Well, that's why we need the masses to help brainstorm ideas.
We need the masses, okay.
So we've done paint and sip, ceramics. We've done paint and sip a lot.
Yeah.
Ceramics, tufting, felting, gymnastics.
Yeah.
Metalwork. You've booked in ring making. Other years, what else have we done? We're doing a lot of manicuring.
So many manicures.
We've had a couple's massage.
Oh yeah, where we chatted though. We did a couple's massage. We've done a few of them. Remember we did them like quite regularly, and then the chicks were like, "Can you stop chatting?"
Because
the two of us were just talking the entire time.
Everything. So
we've done heaps of nail sessions where they don't know that you're Vietnamese. And they've happened to be at Vietnamese salons where they talk about us. And then at the end you're like, hi.
Yeah. I think we're like...
We haven't done a cooking class.
We haven't done cooking. I did think about that too.
We went to the tennis.
Yes, done tennis.
We did tennis. We've been to... Have we been to the MSO together?
Oh, yes. And we've done candlelight.
Yeah, we did candlelight concerts.
Concerts.
We did...
we have done MSO. We went to Harry Potter and the Order of
Phoenix. We did MSO when the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra does these incredible, incredible performances where a live orchestra plays the entire score of a movie. And it's... Even if you're not... Like, we're both really nerdy musos at our school. We both played in, like, orchestra and all the bands and, like, play multiple instruments and love it. And so we froth like orchestras, but Nick is not a big orchestra person, and we've started getting him to go to them, like Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and it's magical to just see a live orchestra play the score, not just the score, but all the sound effects in a movie.
Yeah, it was really
so cool.
Anyway, so if anyone has any ideas of where I could take Sarah for her birthday, please
then privately DM them because I can see your suggestions.
Yeah, or put it in, whatever. She can know. I'll make the final call on where we go. We've even gone swimming with the seals.
Oh my God.
Like we've done so much.
We went to Sorrento. We went swimming with the seals. I had a bowel event.
Yeah, that was stressful.
On the way, and we had to stop and we were late, and then we nearly didn't make it to the boat, and it was just like...
But I said, I'm coming with Spoonful of Sarah. They're like, oh, hold the boat.
No, whatever.
Hold the boat.
Whatever. Yeah, swimming with the seals was amazing. We took you to that weird Airbnb. the forest and the stars one. The forest and the heavens.
What else have we done? Oh, we've done Unyoked, that like little...
Oh, yeah. We did a tiny house.
Yeah, tiny house. We've done a lot of vacations.
Yeah. Phillip Island. What instruments did you play? So I played...
Before we answer, what instrument does Sarah look like she would have played?
So I learnt one, like, officially. Two. I learnt two officially. Actually, fuck, I learnt three officially.
What did you learn?
And then I self-taught a few others. And by self-taught, your sister taught me them.
Well, the guitar, the drum, the one drum beat.
No, so I officially did piano.
Violin, someone said you look like a violinist.
People say that, but I never did violin. I never did strings. So I did piano.
That's very
flute.
Asian of you, very Asian of you.
Flute. No, but this is my white parents.
Sarah,
so piano, flute, and tuba. That's amazing.
So elegant, and me is like, bah, bah.
No, and the triangle. I reckon I'd pick you for a triangle player.
I would pick you as a violinist, like one of those, like, sit at the front.
Like, but the first violinist, like, yeah, right at the front, that gets like all
right
the solos.
The front, yeah.
Nah, never did strings. I did piano. This is, one will surprise you. Piano classes, flute in primary school, and then in high school.
Drums.
Trumpet. Do you remember Goncharov?
Yes, because...
And I was in the brass ensemble.
Okay, well, I've only...
But then I also learnt drums.
Drums,
And I did, and I was in chamber voices, so I did singing.
Oh, chamber voices. See, that's why she should be a violinist. I had only learnt one formally. And as all high achievers do, trumpet. But
did you have Goncharov?
Yeah, I had
Goncharov. So we both had the same hectic Russian
but he was
brass
the best.
Teacher
he was the best.
At McGrub, like 10 I years loved apart. Him. He was so funny.
And he just gave up on me though. He was like,
same.
Well, I could like own the only sheet music I could ever read was just trumpet music. If you ask me to.
I couldn't read trumpet music, still can't.
Like just. And then, but if you tried to give me the same, hi Dana. If you tried to give me the same.
It's Dana.
Sheet music, Dana. Oh, sorry, Dana. If you gave me the same sheet music that was like piano,
you couldn't
I
do
couldn't
it.
Compute it. I think I only matched it with the positions. That's the only way I could like read it. Anyway.
So I hired, did you own a trumpet or did you use one of the schools?
I used the schools, but by the end, Gonch was like, just have it.
Okay, so I used the schools as well. You probably used mine, but he knew, because I stored it at the school,
and
he knew
practice?
How often that yeah, I yeah. didn't take it home, because he's like, it was in the cupboard. He's like, have you done all your scales and stuff? And I was like, yep. And he's like, well, how? Because your trumpet was here for like 2 months. And I was like, okay. I was so bad.
And but trumpet was the only thing that could work for me, because it's like you can only play one note at a time.
Yeah, but then like my note would be allocated in the like sheet music, and I would pretend that I was playing it, and then like he couldn't hear it, so he's like, Sarah, where are you?
Yeah, that's
like,
why
I don't know what I'm supposed to be playing.
That's
I
why I played
sucked.
No, I played third trumpet for a reason.
Yeah, I was like, so it was no, like there were like five and I was like six. Yeah, so it was like the voluntary extra
it
one.
It was like just crotchets, so I was like burp, burp,
burp, burp, burp.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't heard the word crotchet.
Crotchet.
In so long.
Yeah, semi quavers.
But you self-taught guitar as well.
Yeah. I'm probably more proficient at guitar than I am.
You're really good at guitar.
At trumpet.
I am. My best instrument is probably piano, like, but I can't read sheet music. Yeah, so I can listen to a song and play it,
yeah,
but no. I can't read it and play it.
Yeah, no.
No.
Yeah, piano hurts my brain. I think Mum tried to get us in early, and as disgraceful Vietnamese daughters, we weren't very good. Although Catherine is very, actually much more innately musical than we are. But at the same time, I feel like we're quite a musical family.
So people who still to this day ask how we know each other, just a little recap, even though I feel like we need a business card or a PowerPoint.
Like a QR like code.
It. Yeah,
scan a QR code.
So I was really close with Ange's eldest sister. We were in the same year at high school. So we were really, really close. And I knew Ange as Catherine's youngest sister. And like literally since you were a baby, I've known who you were because of Catherine and knew your family and your parents and everything. And anyway, Catherine and I were in a band at school and we used to play.
So funny.
We used to put on concerts. Like Full had amps and everything set up with like electric guitars. Like we would put on a full concert.
At the Undercroft.
At the Undercroft. No, in the hall.
Oh my God, how obnoxious.
And we'd get like the full tech guy to like do the curtains and the lights, and we played the Veronicas. Like
That's
we
so
came
cute.
Out and like everyone would come, and there was like a mosh pit, and it was an all-girl school, so it was even weirder that we were just like,
well,
come on baby, we ain't gonna live forever.
But you were the singer. Sarah
and
was
the drummer.
And the drummer for a song.
And the drummer. And then I got kicked out.
We don't speak about that.
And then I didn't speak to Catherine for ages until she was like.
Still an elephant in the room,
until
actually.
Until she was like, my sister wants to get into business. Can we surprise you? And then we surprised Ange. And then I was like, oh, I like this sister better. No, I didn't say that.
But no, but she implied
we kind
it.
Of became best friends.
She implied it because I never kicked her out of a band.
Yet.
Dana.
Oh, yeah. Also, shout out to Dana and Han, who both have said hello and are both long-time Yeaberhood members, very active, who we love.
Hello.
Dana has a question. Is there anything you two can't do aside from playing the trumpet? record an episode that isn't totally unhinged.
Hey,
and,
I actually was
off topic.
I was really good at the recorder.
Has anyone seen Ange's recorder content? I'm so glad you don't have one here today because you would have done a demonstration. There are actually, so I think one of the reasons why we're both quite similar is because we'll always give something a red hot crack. So it often looks like we can do a lot of different things. We can't. We just are happy to try them once or twice and be like very mediocre at them. But it looks like we're always doing lots of activities, but we just like we'll play a tennis rally one day because we're on a holiday together and there's a tennis court, but like none of us are great at tennis. Yeah, we'll just do it because it's fun. And then we'll like play mini golf because there's golf there. Like we'll always try things, but we're not good at those things.
I feel like I think about this a lot because I'm like, I do feel like I can do most things at this at the level that you were talking about.
Like
I can,
like
jack of all trades, beginner or even like just average, but there's nothing that I like am really good at.
I disagree.
No,
there's plenty you're really good at.
No, there's not because and there's nothing that I'm like an elite level at that I would like.
Is there anything you're really bad at? What would you say that you're actually bad at? Pilates.
Oh, I'm real bad at Pilates.
Real bad at Pilates.
It's hard to think on the spot.
Yeah, but there's a few
things. I'd say swimming when I first started, but then I had to really... Well, the other thing is I feel like I'm quite... I love learning.
Makeup. So. You're bad at makeup.
Yes, I'm very bad at makeup, actually.
You're not very bad. You're getting better.
No, I still didn't know where to put the eyeliner. And then old mate was like, why are you putting your eyeliner? Then I was like, don't you put it top and bottom? She goes,
no, you do. You just... We're using a pencil that wasn't for your eyes.
She goes, now you look gothic. I was like, oh.
You're getting better at that. But yeah, that's not one of your strengths.
But with you though, I'm like, yeah, you can also do many things. But your greatest strength that you are like above average at is one, learning languages. And two, I don't know, it's hard to measure, but like the skill... Like your presenting skills is so.
Oh, thanks.
No, but you're so like you never trained to do that, and you do it at a level that a lot of people train to do it at.
That's really lovely. But my first career was as a lawyer, so like incidentally, like I didn't do training, but you kind of train in the art of presenting when you're going to be in court. So I kind of started in an industry where that's part of it. But one thing I'm really, really bad at, a few things, but they're all the same theme, is estimation of how long I'm going to take to get somewhere, how many people are in a room, how long ago something happened and whether Ange was there or born at the time.
A lot of the things that we're bad at are just like tiny little characteristics. Like
I use that every day.
Any sort of activity.
I use that every day. I have to say, oh yeah, mum will be like, oh, that's lovely. How many people are at the baby shower? I'm like 900.
My partner would say I'm a bad driver, but I'm like just slightly a bit more risk-taking.
I think you're a little reckless.
I'm a little risk-taking.
Also, when I met you, you had a car, but you drove once a year. So it was more just like we were like nervous that you weren't on the road that much.
It's because I drive like I'm cycling, which is a very different experience.
And you touch drive because your car, you don't care about it. You're like, oh, I'll just touch. Oh, whoops, I touched.
No.
remember that time we got on the freeway?
I don't remember.
And you were like, you just kept going and you just tapped the guy in front of you and you were like, oh.
I think we were going
to Five Acres.
And did it actually?
And you just kept driving in like really slowly, but you just didn't stop. And then you just tapped the car in front of you and you're like, oh, whatever. I think he knew.
It's the French in me.
Yeah.
Someone on the back of this said, is there anything that you thought you'd be a champ at but was a major flop? Yes, gymnastics.
Really?
I actually thought, I was like, I have the strength and mobility. And I got there and it was very... We do have to share the gymnastics
video again. Yeah.
There's this amazing video of us trying to learn the pommel horse thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to learn it, you have to put your foot in a bucket that's attached to a string. And then you kind of try to swing the bucket around while you're holding onto the horse.
Yeah.
And I think when I went second or something and Phil was like showing us. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Like that's a progression into the sport. I went in, I couldn't even, like, I actually couldn't move. And so there's this video of him pulling me around because I couldn't. And Sarah goes on and, like, does it, like, three rounds by herself. And I was
that surprised me, though.
But that's what I mean. I thought I was going to be a lot better, but I was actually just, literally a flop.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I really am not good at is bike riding. We've already covered this in a few episodes, but I'm really not. And for someone who's like quite coordinated, not good at it. But the reverse, something I shouldn't be good at, but I am accidentally good at with no practice, is golf.
Oh, yeah, an odd thing.
Yeah, I'm not like amazing at like height, but it'll just go in the direction I want it to go. Even if it's like on the floor, Nick is just like, how the fuck? Like he practices all the time.
Yeah.
And then I'll just randomly play sometimes and I'm just like, oh, it went where I want it. And he's like, how did you do that?
Yeah.
Is it genetic? Koreans are good at golf. I don't know.
The other thing I've realized is diving into a pool.
You're not good at?
No.
Not graceful.
I'm quite a literal flop.
No. I need content.
So I think I look. So I'll show you content. So I thought I looked like this.
Yeah, like mermaid.
And at footy, like camp thing, we had to do this and we had to jump in a pool and swim as fast as we could. And I thought I was like really being the most efficient diver. And the video is like this. Like I just, gravity just takes me down as a flat surface.
Oh, that's really cute. Someone said, Lena said, wait until Bear is born. Your new timeline will be based on how old they are. I've been doing that for the past 10 weeks. Yeah, except that I will be like, remember when the baby was like 5 and it'll be a memory from like 25 years ago. Like I'll be so bad. It's just impossible.
Oh, like what is
whoa,
that?
That's a belly flop.
Yeah, and I thought I was really elegant.
Nah, not elegant. And also, what's the... Bim, your swimming cap and all your hair is out the side.
Well, that's a thing, another thing.
Oh, wow, none of you are. See, none of you are graceful at all. That's terrible.
Anyway, so that's my answer to that.
I'm going to take one more question because my pelvis is starting to get to its part where it doesn't want to sit anymore. This is also from Lena. What's on the top of your bucket list? Oh, great question. You know what's really interesting about both of us? That we don't really have a long bucket list because we get very impatient to do the things on it.
Mm.
So we kind of do them. Like we're very, I think one thing that we continue to bring out in each other, which is healthy, and Nick is the same, is don't wait until... You know, a lot of people are like, I'll be happy when, or I'll do this thing I've always wanted to do when, like once I've been successful or once I've ticked off all these other things. We're kind of more like, just do it. Like go to Antarctica. Like
yeah.
Who cares?
Which is very lucky for us to be able to say and do, I realize. Because I was like, the freedom of travel for us is a real, is hard for others.
Oh,
but I think.
But having said that, we also reallocate a lot of resources around, like we prioritize those things over other things.
Yeah. Like I don't drink, like growing all of my 20s was really revolved around traveling. Like I never really had the club scene. Mm. I never like drank. And like I was really all about travel, which I have loved. But I'd say the first thing that comes to mind and the only thing right now is I've always wanted to go on like an awesome, like semi off-grid road trip around like Iceland, like northern, like Scandinavia side.
Yeah.
Not like I wouldn't even have to see the northern lights per se, but something.
Just that region.
Because the last time I did something like that was when I went to Jordan and we were just the middle of the desert.
Mm.
And it was this vastness, that you're so small in this big world type feeling that I was like, and we slept under the stars, not even in tents with 6 randoms I met the day before and we saw 7 shooting stars. Like that kind of, that kind of feeling.
When you feel
I was like,
insignificant. When nature makes you feel insignificant is one of my favorite feelings.
But I do feel like I need to be out of Australia to truly feel like away.
Yeah.
Like except, culturally and.
Except, you haven't done like deep Northern Territory.
No.
So
which is
I
also
think you'd
on
feel
my
that.
List.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the only thing that's really like really bucket list feeling.
Mm-hmm.
The rest feel like major goals.
Yeah. I don't even, I think I'm also very lucky that a lot of the things that have been on my bucket list, say through my 20s, I was so fortunate to be able to work them into things we did in our 30s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one was Antarctica and I actually got to go, which was just absolutely mind-blowing. And, like, to take Nick back to Korea and to, like, and also, like, my, rather than big, huge goals, my, like, things I care most about are actually day-to-day goals. Like, spend lots of time during the week with my mom. Like, they're, like, my favorite things. They make me so happy. So I don't... Like my attachment isn't as far into the future. I mean, there are things I still would love to do in my lifetime. Like I would love to see the Northern Lights.
Mm.
I'd love to do. Nick did a road trip with his family. Like they pulled him out of primary school.
Oh, yeah.
And did a road trip in a caravan around Australia. And he's still got such strong memories of that. So that's something I would love to do with our kids, is take them around all the places that most Australians don't sort of bother doing that kind of domestic travel. But, you know, like going up the East Coast and the Daintree and like, you know, I feel like something like that is probably something I'd like to do. Uluru was on there and I got to do that recently. Yeah. Like Egypt was one and I got to do that. So there's nothing that's really calling me right now. My bucket list things are more like have a son and spend time with him, which
having
is really
a child
lovely.
And a family.
Really lovely.
So these are just statements. Try Outback WA, see the wilderness or Northern Territory. Both I actually really want to do. And someone had also said, Iceland is really – I've heard really awesome things about how, like, mountainous Iceland is – so, like, for that reason, I've always wanted to go. But, yes, you're crampy plus plus.
I'm crampy plus.
And we've had some such nice questions.
This was really fun.
Sorry to our Facebook people that we neglected because we just couldn't figure out how to answer.
It says zero viewers.
But it says two
why.
Comments.
Oh,
so
was it you and I going, how do we do this?
Do we do this? Anyway, if anyone does have questions in the future, though, we always love answering them.
Yeah.
So send them through.
And as you
DM.
Know, we obviously don't hold back on our answers. I feel like people are very polite. We would answer much worse, more invasive questions, and people are so polite.
People
and nice
are way
about
too
them.
Polite. Every time we say it's an open book and try to emphasize the open book, everyone's like, so why did you switch jobs?
I know. I'm like, guys, I'm about to literally squeeze a human out my vagina and I would have answered anything about that. But like people are so polite. It's so nice.
Thanks the founder edit for joining and everyone else as well.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Oh, and Han, Sarah, my mum loved your book.
Oh, Han.
That's lovely.
Oh,
I haven't
that's so
read it
nice.
Yet.
I know, you've still only read how much? 75%?
I've read that one page where
is
you
talk about
me. Is that
on your bucket list
me?
To finish? To finish
no,
my book?
It's on your bucket list, not on mine.
Oh, you know what's on my bucket list? To write a children's book.
That is on my bucket list.
I've been talking
list,
about
bought,
that for a long time. Yeah, about Paul, I think, our little goalie.
That would be super cute.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll cut ourselves off right now. And I feel like maybe we should do this again because it's really fun.
Every fortnight, perhaps.
Yeah.
Actually, we shouldn't.
We can't commit to anything regular.
Hey,
do you know what I remember the other day? Remember what? I was going to do a historical Years of Our Lives?
Yeah, I remember.
And I still want to do it because I'm like, the guests who I would love to, you know how
Cecilia's like, bye, stop talking.
It's like we've said, we are John Farnham. We say goodbye and do our farewell tour like 85 times. So we're going to do this segment and I still actually really want to do it. Because sometimes the timing with actual guests doesn't line up and I wanted to alternate like Years of Our Lives guest, Years of Our Lives guest. And for those times where you couldn't get someone, people always ask that dinner party question. Who, alive or dead, would you invite to a dinner party if you could have dinner with anyone? And I was like, I want to do like who would you interview in the past if you could do a historical episode with anyone, because there are so many people's stories who aren't around but who are so inspiring and so interesting that I wanted to do like a historical, like let's look at Marie Curie and what she did for her yay and like
it's,
Joan of
no,
Arc.
The pronunciation is Marie Claire. Oh.
Champanunu. Fatty Jetty. Anyway, I still think I want to do that at some point, but that was like 2 years ago when I first had the idea and I still haven't done it. So sorry, guys.
Well, we can still do it.
We can still do it. And like even like Princess Di, like people's stories who, you know, when we have really well-known guests on, my favorite thing is speaking about all the things they don't normally get interviewed about. It would be the same for historical guests, stuff you don't read as much about, although obviously they can't answer.
Well, now that you've said it to the public, I think it's a go.
To the grand public of like the five people who have stayed because we said goodbye like 8 hours
ago. And the zero viewers. Well, Cecilia said bye.
Okay,
sorry, so
guys.
We better say bye.
Sorry, guys. Have an amazing day. Bye.